Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome to another edition of News and Views. Thanks for joining us. The latest effort to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act failed last week without even coming to a vote. But that doesn't mean Republicans will now work to improve the law. And Medicaid cuts may still be on the table as Congress tries to put a budget together. Joining us now to talk about what's next for Medicaid and the Affordable Care Act is Jonathan Oberlander, professor of social medicine at UNC Chapel Hill. Well, thanks for being back with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
The Republicans have had, I guess, three significant efforts at repealing and replacing the Affordable Care Act. Were you surprised that they failed?
Surprised but not shocked. It was always going to be difficult in the Senate because Republicans have such a slim majority, and there was reason to think, given the political incentives in the Republican Party, they might find a way to get to 50 in the Senate. And at the end of the day, Mitch McConnell just couldn't do it.
You wrote an article in the New England Journal of Medicine in the middle of September talking about that they've been trying to do this for 7 years. They passed a lot of repeal legislation before when President Obama was president, and they seem to have overwhelming support. What was the difference?
When President Obama was president, repeal was really a academic or theoretical exercise because you knew that President Obama was going to veto any legislation that a Republican Congress sent him. This was the real deal, and the reality was they could not agree on a replace plan. It's easier to talk about repeal than it is to actually do it, and it's even harder to come up with a viable replace plan. And when push came to shove and they found themselves confronted with the reality, which included the fact that Obamacare, for all its problems, and there are many, has produced many benefits that they were threatening to take away, they just couldn't find a way to overcome that.
How much of the defeat of these plans was due to the Republican governors across the country and some of the medical, the industry, the healthcare industry being opposed?
Well, the Republican repeal plans managed to do something that the Obama administration never could do, and that's make Obamacare popular. Public support for the Affordable Care Act went up substantially during these repeal and replace efforts. It's also true, as your question rightly suggested, that the healthcare industry was virtually united in opposition to the Republican plans. There's a lot of opposition from Republican governors who are especially worried about the cuts to Medicaid, and a lot of grassroots opposition as well. So there's no question that they sort of stirred up a hornet's nest and ultimately just couldn't get past it.
It's interesting they chose to do all this sort of behind the scenes and then unveil a plan or details of a plan would work out, and they never really had, I guess, what Senator McCain calls regular order. What do you think the strategy, instead of having hearings and pointing out the flaws of the law that they don't like, would that have been a better avenue or better way to do it?
I'm not sure they had a good avenue available to them. I think they ended up rushing this, and it's ironic because Republicans criticize the Affordable Care Act for being passed on a partisan vote, for being done through this reconciliation instrument, which allows you to pass something with a majority instead of a supermajority in the Senate, and for being rushed. And they then tried to pass repeal and replace legislation that was much more rushed than the Affordable Care Act ever was, to the point where we didn't even have Congressional Budget Office analysis of what the impacts would be. I think they were sort of damned if you do, damned if you don't. The reason I believe they settled on the strategy is they knew this was going to be controversial, and they thought that controversy was only going to get worse the more this was out in the public. And so they sought to reduce that controversy by going quickly, by doing this behind the scenes. That didn't work either. I'm not sure there was a magic key available to them.
Yeah, I want to ask you about where we are now in a second and what happens to the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare. But there was one member of North Carolina's congressional delegation, probably more, but I saw, who said, "I'd vote for anything that will pass," which sort of put it in more of a, they were fulfilling a promise rather than creating a policy.
I think that's right. You know, the Republican Party has pledged for 7 years to repeal and replace Obamacare, and they were really intent on passing something they could call repeal, whatever that was. In fact, none of the Republican bills, even the one that passed the House, would have repealed all the Affordable Care Act. Actually, it kept a fair amount of it, but this was a political commitment that they had, and they were determined to make good on that. This really wasn't about policy. The last bill that was out there, the Graham Cassidy bill, Senator Grassley, who's a Republican from Iowa, said, you know, there are 10 different things I can tell you about this bill that are reasons why we shouldn't pass it substantively, but we've got to do it politically. And ultimately, that political commitment was just not strong enough to get to 50 in the Senate.
So do you think the repeal efforts will continue?
Yes. You know, there is a bipartisan direction out there where Democrats say, we love Obamacare, but it's got problems, let's fix them. Republicans say, we hate Obamacare, but it's done some good things, let's fix it. And in fact, there are senators, including Senator Alexander, who's a Republican from Tennessee, Senator Murray, who's a Democrat from Washington State, working on bipartisanship. But I think this remains an existential issue. I think there's a fair chance that Republicans will try and revive, repeal, and replace, and perhaps wait to see what the results of the 2018 elections are and if they pick up any seats in the Senate.
And I guess now the question for a lot of folks that has real impact is what happens to the Affordable Care Act now, not only fixing the problems, which we should talk about, but just how it operates. There's the cost-sharing reductions issue, the outreach issue. The Trump administration could do a lot to make it harder for the Affordable Care Act to work.
I think the Trump administration is trying to create a self-fulfilling prophecy. They're saying that Obamacare is failing, and then they're taking steps that undercut the law. So they have cut by 90% the federal spending on advertising and outreach. There is a much shorter enrollment period for the health insurance marketplaces that the uninsured get coverage from this year. That'll start here in a few weeks. They are threatening, as you mentioned before, to pull the plug on these cost-sharing reductions, which are payments to insurance companies for folks who can't afford their deductibles and copays. So there's a lot of damage the Trump administration can do to Obamacare, and I think the administration has to decide how much of a political risk is it if they take these steps.
Yeah, you mentioned the bipartisan effort led by Senator Alexander and Senator Murray. That seemed to sort of screech to a halt when we had this last flurry of a repeal effort. Do you think that that will resurface and continue?
I do. Nothing is really dead in Washington. You know, it changes by the week. So I think that will resurface. And in fact, there are negotiations back on right now. Whether it can pass, I don't know. They're really focused on doing some things to stabilize the insurance marketplaces and see what we can do about those problems of volatility in premiums in the individual health insurance market. And there are some policy steps that, in theory, the parties could agree on, whether it can get through Congress and whether it can gain the support of conservatives in the Republican Party who aren't interested in strengthening Obamacare is a different matter.
You mentioned Medicaid early on, which I guess is at the core of a lot of these debates. There's also the federal budget debate, which could affect Medicaid. Of course, there's state budget debates that could affect Medicaid. How big of a factor is the survival and adequate funding of Medicaid?
Medicaid is a hugely important program in this country. It covers 40% of all children under age 18. It pays for half of all births. It plays an incredibly important role in financing long-term care and nursing homes, in financing care for persons with developmental disabilities and mental health issues. Of course, plays a huge role in trying to provide treatment for opioid addiction. So it's just an enormously important program. And a lot of what this debate was about was actually not the Affordable Care Act, because the Republican legislation went far beyond that to make changes in Medicaid that had nothing to do with the Affordable Care Act and really deep, deep cuts in federal spending on Medicaid. I don't think the bullseye is off of Medicaid. As the debate showed, it's not an easy program to cut because the healthcare industry doesn't want to see it cut. A lot of governors don't want to see it cut. A lot of consumer groups don't want to see it cut. I think the bullseye is still going to be there. And keep an eye on the tax cut debate, because if Congress passes legislation that cuts taxes by $1, $2, $2.5 trillion, as they're talking about right now, sooner or later, they're going to have to find the money to try and offset those tax cuts. And they're going to go to where the money is. And the money is in health care, and a lot of it's in Medicaid. So it won't be surprising if Medicaid is on the block for major cuts in coming years.
Well, fascinating. We'll love to have you back as this continues to evolve. Thank you for what you're doing. We appreciate you being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Up next, why a low unemployment rate doesn't tell the whole story. Stay tuned.